Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't, and where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone. Stuart Best here, and we got Larry Taylor for our update, and boy, there's a lot going on. But before I get in there, Larry, with this, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, hanging in. I've never posted as many earthquakes as I have today. It's been absolutely incredible. And I don't know if you saw it. Did you see that blood red moon photograph coming up over New York? Did you see that?
Yes, I did. I wonder if that's not a prophetic sign for New York. You know.
It certainly could be. Yeah, and it wasn't predicted, far as I know, at all.
Yeah, I want to talk about something that, you know, there's censorship all over. And
yeah.
Is this stuff going on over in the Middle East actually being covered here? I haven't seen too much covered. They talk about the shooting at a university, but that's all I've seen.
The only coverage that I'm watching is on Fox, and Lou Dobbs just covered some of it. Matter of fact, he interviewed General Jack Keane, a while ago, and he gave a very interesting overview of the Obama-Erdogan movement that's going on right now, and I'll give it whenever you're ready.
Anytime. Yeah, we can start right there.
Well, what's interesting is the fact that I don't know many people have been watching, but this morning something unprecedented happened, actually. Turkish tanks and armor, their artillery opened up, and they made bombing runs inside Syria, inside northern Syria, and their tanks went inside Syria, which is really unusual. And began focusing on a location there that named Jarablus, which what's interesting is the fact that that's where ISIS had some strongholds. However, with this going on, at first reports seemed to indicate that this was a surprise to Obama administration, but later it was revealed that actually, U.S. coalition warplanes, including U.S., was actually bombing throughout this area. And at the same time, Vice President Biden had landed at Ankara, Turkey, and had literally from there gave a threat to the Kurds. Now, you got to remember, the Kurds are our allies. I mean, sometimes we have to put that in over and over and over because it doesn't appear to be so. But the Kurds are our allies, and Biden threatened the Kurds and told them to leave that area and go back across the Euphrates. So, with that being said, and the consternation that this was going on and no responses from Putin, I know that Netanyahu called Putin, and, that hadn't heard any more on that. However, General Jack Keane was on Lou Dobbs while ago on Fox Business News, and he said that what is behind this movement is the Kurds were making too much inroads. He said Turkey's not after the ISIS that much. They actually are taking over that city that, you know, they're going after, and they're going to give it, you know, to the rebels that Turkey backs. And at the same time, the pro-Ankara rebels were also taking another village in that area. And General Keane indicated that this was a movement that Erdogan was doing and what was happening and the reason we were allowing it and behind it, and some of this is happening to our Kurdish allies, is because Erdogan has Obama over a barrel and is about to remove the U.S. and NATO from using the Incirlik Air Base, which Obama's administration needs to carry out the next few months of their, let's see, how would I word this, their pretense at having a war against ISIS, maybe? That's me talking.
Yeah.
That's not, that's not Jack King, but Jack King said that he said this movement basically Turkey's using ISIS as a provocation to go in and remove all of the Kurdish forces, which he's afraid of, and doesn't want on his border there with Turkey in Syria, and they're moving them along with Biden threatening them back, try to get them back across the Euphrates, back into Iraq, I suppose. And then I suppose some of this land will literally fall under Turkish purveyance. But Jack King said the interesting thing was, and it went along with what you and I had both discussed, was the fact he said that Turkey is now actually, without going to say, that it's already an Islamic State ahead of the ISIS groups. He's already established an Islamic State.
Now, there was a plan to divide Syria into three distinct different parts, correct?
That's correct.
So is this, even though they're saying otherwise, is this part of that plan, do you think?
Well, to sit back and look at what's going on, and for number one, you know, you remember Putin had backed the Kurds at one time to some degree, you know.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And that's what's interesting, because there's no response out of Putin and Russia. And a matter of fact, Obama had issued, his administration had issued, when this started, a warning for Russia and Putin to stay out of this. And to me, that's more poking the bear. That's more provocation. However, you're looking at a plan that there was apparently some secret meetings going on a week or so ago, and a plan that would give Assad a portion of Syria around Damascus and that region, and then Iran was going to get a portion of Syria, and then Turkey was to get a portion of Syria, and Russia keep all of the bases in the Mediterranean and that region. And maybe this is going on into the plan, and Obama's trying to do what he can to, I don't know, keep Ikerlik. But I don't know how it's going to work out. It appears Erdogan is really ahead of the – really, this is what's interesting. It appears that Putin and Erdogan have outplayed Obama in this game.
That's not a surprise, I don't think. I think everybody seems to underestimate Putin's political and military chess-playing ability. They're coming up against a strategist that I don't think the world has really seen for a while. So probably behind the scenes, we don't know what the script is for that particular area. But I do have it says Damascus, AFP, Syria condemned Wednesday's Turkish incursion into an Islamic State group-held border area as a flagrant violation of its sovereignty, as Kurdish authorities said the action amounted to a declaration of war. Foreign ministry in Damascus said it condemns the crossing of the Turkey-Syria border by Turkish tanks, armored vehicles, towards that Jarabulus or whatever area with air cover from U.S.-led coalition, and considers it a flagrant violation of Syrian sovereignty. So what happens if Putin decides he is going to get involved in this?
Well, I would imagine that things will change rather rapidly. As you well know, Putin generally has the electronic warfare capability over any of the neighbors, including the U.S. and NATO, over that area. Netanyahu's already indicated that and said that Putin's air cover is just unbreakable, actually, the ability he has. Now, we do know that Putin also he's got the bombers, the fighters, he's got the missiles, he's got the defense missiles. I mean, he's got the submarines, he's got the naval, forces there, even submarines. So if Putin decides it's a game changer, so to speak, he may make a move on this incursion. You know, he had warned Turkey once before not to do this, but, you know, then came along the agreement. And this is what's interesting, and I'm wondering a little bit. There was in the last day or so, there'd been a very interesting pivot by Putin. He pivoted back to Netanyahu, and actually, they've got something going. Now, I don't know. I don't know what it is. But it's almost like Putin's kind of playing all sides at the very same time. But, you know, he's got the military hand in this. He's got nukes there, too. And, of course, right now it appears this NATO nuclear arsenal is somewhat checkmated to some degree. And
I was going to ask you about that. Have you heard any? Because I was looking around, I couldn't find any news on it. It's kind of like it vanished. You heard reports that they were going to move 20 of them, but then I heard a report saying that these things are very difficult to move, and there's like 60 or 90 or whatever there are there, so they're still there. Is there any more? I mean, I can't imagine Putin or Erdogan not wanting to get their hands on these if they could. Now, I also heard, you can confirm this, that the invitation was for Russia to use that base anytime they wanted. And remember when Putin pulled out, he said, we can be there in hours if there's anything we need to be there for down in Syria.
Yeah, that's very true.
So here's another quote from that article. Any party conducting a battle against terrorism on Syrian soil must do so in coordination with the Syrian government and the Syrian army, who have been fighting this war for 5 years. Chasing out IS and replacing them with terrorist groups backed by Turkey is not fighting terrorism. This thing could, you know, when you put babies in the playpen with nuclear matches, you never know what's going to happen.
Well, that's very true. And Stuart, the interesting thing is, this entire region is just, there's missiles everywhere. There's tanks, there's soldiers. I mean, there's armies all over the place right now in that whole region, and it wouldn't take much of a spark. You know, all you got to have is somebody that just makes one really bad mistake, and
yes,
things could begin to happen that you couldn't shut off.
Yeah, I see this report here. It says in Ankara on Wednesday, visiting U.S. Vice President Joe Biden said Washington had made it clear that Kurdish-led forces in Syria must not deploy west of the Euphrates River. Well, who is Biden to be giving orders? Or Obama, for that matter? And I just read this is Syrian land. And if you're going to operate within Syria, I mean, this is flagrant violation of international law. But then again, I guess we could all be called lawless except Putin, who was invited to come in and help with that.
Well, that's very true.
So this thing could go anytime, couldn't it?
Well, it could, because of the fact that when they began this operation, which I can't remember the name of it, but Operation I don't remember the name, Euphrates maybe or something like that, but General Jack Keane said that the main objective of Erdogan in this is to move the Kurds completely off of the Turkish-Syrian border and block them from, you know, getting any closer. And Obama seems to be right in league with Erdogan on doing this. You know, it doesn't really appear to matter that we're actually betraying our allies, because Obama's done that ever since he entered office. So what's new?
Yeah. Here's another one that has nothing to do with this, but it does have to do with war, I guess. Guided missile destroyer, the USS Nitz, I guess, N-I-T-Z-E, followed and harassed by Iranian patrol boats on Tuesday in the Persian Gulf. This is an area where, do you remember, who was it? Somebody had a vision. You know, visions come and go and they don't happen, but some of them do, and that's the point. That we would lose lose an entire battle group and it would all be sunk? Do you remember that vision at all?
Yeah, I've heard two or three visions of that over the last 10 years, but I believe the one that really originated that vision or had a vision of that happening and posted it was Alex Kupich's brother Bob, you know, the brother Bob that, you know, gives him heads up every once in a while. I believe that's who it was.
Did he say how that occurred? My point is, if you've got these little boats and you've got hundreds of them, and they're moving every which way and encircling, and they all have missiles, guided missiles, on them. How do you defend yourself?
Well, I don't think that you do, Stuart. And I think in the vision he said that we literally sacrificed a carrier in that instance.
Wow. Would that bring us into the war of Daniel? I think it's Daniel chapter 8. I don't have it in front of me. Where Iran makes, a blitzerig, northeast, south, and west. It's the ram and the he-goat.
Yeah, it could, Stuart. And one thing that's going on that nobody seems to know, I know that Fox has reported it, but just barely, is the fact that there is probably close to 200,000 Iranian troops in Iraq, and we're not telling people that. You know, we're not letting that out. Seems to be a secret. Now that's a lot of troops. That's a big army, and they could move in any direction anytime that it's needed.
Are they actually who's actually running Iraq? Is it now Iran? I mean, they're included in the biblical narrative as Persia. That's Iran and Iraq together, which would tend to indicate that the two kind of merge. So is Iran behind the scenes running Iraq at this point, like they are Syria, or were anyway?
Well, it appears that it's been given over to them. The commanding general, the general that you remember, Stan Deo said he had watched for years, Qasem Soleimani.
Yes, yes.
That is the commander that's in Iraq right now. They pulled him out of Syria, and they put him in Iraq over the Revolutionary Guard forces and the Quds forces and all of those, that 200,000-man army in Iraq. Now, it's all Iranian. Now, they're using a mixture of some Kurds, some Iranians, some Iraqi, and some of the locals to fight ISIS in that whole region. But the interesting thing is that's a lot of military. Now, here's something I want to run by you, too. Somebody sent me an email and said, you know, this is really strange that I studied a little bit of the history of that region in Syria that it seems Turkey's trying to take over and empty out. And and I may be wrong on this, Stuart, but they indicated they thought that it was the old region of Nineveh.
Yeah, probably it is, yes. Huh. Well, that would be interesting. I mean, what we're watching is the reconsolidation of the ancient biblical lands that are mentioned in Ezekiel 38:39 and actually Isaiah chapter 17. This Netanyahu Putin deal was, do you suppose when Putin made this marriage between himself, Erdogan of Turkey, then Syria, and Iran, I was reading articles where Netanyahu and the military, the IDF military over there, was very upset over this. So do you suppose this was a kind of a phone call to find out, well, what in the world are you doing? And Putin just trying to calm Netanyahu down, who has a predisposition towards possible preemptive attacks?
Well,
one wrong move and this whole thing goes, you know.
Yeah. Now, here's some more details that most people don't know about.
Okay.
I posted it today, actually. Putin, to keep Netanyahu happy, maybe be giving him a little more leeway. If you'll remember, Putin, even though his military covered Syria, especially his air force and his radar and his anti-aircraft missiles, he's allowed IDF and Israeli Air Force planes to bomb around Damascus anyway, and to bomb also the Syrian side of Golan and attack some of the Syrian positions at the Golan border. Now, at the same time, there was a very interesting headline came out today that pretty much nobody even heard. But what it said was, and I don't have it right in front of me, I don't think. Let me look real quick here because I do want to read it correctly. I did post it. It said, and I don't find it in my notes here, but it said that the U.S. Obama administration had given an urgent warning to any Americans in the Gaza region to leave immediately, to get out of any Hamas-controlled territory in the Gaza Strip region. And that would indicate to me, Stuart, and I did post it, it's real, that warning for the Americans to get away from that region. You know, Gaza has begun to fire missiles again, you know, into southern Israel. And I'm wondering if possibly while everybody's busy up on the northern border of Syria and Turkey, Netanyahu let his military loose to go into Gaza after Hamas. Because, you know, there were some warnings from, you know, they've got a new Russian immigrant, Lieberman, that's taken over the political ministry there, you know, of defense.
Yes,
and
yes.
They say he's really a hawk. And he said that if they started firing those missiles, if Hamas started again, that it would be brutal, that the IDF would deal brutal with them. So here we've got, now all in the middle of all this other, like we need it, right there in the Middle East, you've got Hamas firing rockets, and you've got America telling, and you know how American feels about the Palestinians in Gaza, for America to tell all the American associated people to get out of there now and leave fast, something's about to happen. And at the same time, we know that the Golan border with Syria is really, there's a lot of ISIS there and linked into the Sinai, the Egyptian Sinai border with Israel too. And
yes.
I've got a feeling that Netanyahu may have been given a little more latitude to attack, and you may see some more. You know, I don't know if we need warfare right there on the border, but it looks like we may have it shortly.
Well, sooner or later, Netanyahu has to come to the realization that he's being played. I mean, I've heard that he knows his Old Testament and he knows his New Testament. So if he knows who Gog and Magog are, unless they're, you know, I've heard this stuff about America being Gog and Magog. In fact, Bush, when he went over there, was called Gog. And I think I read an article not too long ago about Obama being called the head of Gog and Magog, which identifies the United States as the Gog and Magog of Ezekiel. But I have a lot of trouble with that simply because the scholars who really investigate this stuff traced the movements of all of the tribes and trace them to Turkey and north into the Caucasus and Russia area.
Yeah.
Not over here to the United States, which is clearly Babylon the Great and is actually destroyed by the Russian coalition of nations. So this is going to get very, very interesting, I guess. So if they've been given the go-ahead to get out of there or being ordered to get out of there, then you're right. There has to be some, you know, suppose this is that, how do we word this? Things are going to happen in the Middle East, so heads up, that was given, what, a month ago? Could this be all part of this lead up to a devastation and very quick war, do you think?
Well, it's very possible. It's absolutely very possible. And, you know, one of the interesting things is we do know that, you know, the Syrians are still trying to take back the Golan, and they've been trying to move even rumored some chemical weapons into Lebanon to the Hezbollah there on the border with Lebanon. And, you know, Israel keeps finding out about it and bombing them. You know, any way you look at it, it seems that Damascus is really a command and control center for a major attack on Israel. And, you know, we're facing Isaiah 17 one of these days, it appears. I mean, you know, you don't know.
Well, we know for a fact that chemical warheads have been put on missiles over there in Damascus off and on. And for a number of years, where reports are coming in from the insiders over there that they were arming their missiles. So I can't imagine they've probably removed those missiles, which would mean that if Israel has any inkling of attacking Iran, they have to take out Damascus. They don't have any choice. And the only other thing that could happen would be an attack from the Damascus area, which irritates Netanyahu to the point where he just says, oh, I've had it. This is it. But then once that thing starts, and this is what I wanted to warn people about, keep your eyes on that Middle East, Isaiah chapter 17 and Ezekiel 38-39, all kind of tie together. Most scholars would say Isaiah 17 leads almost immediately to Ezekiel 38-39. And that's kind of interesting if you read Isaiah chapter 18, which some scholars claim is also the United States, which is the evil thought that Gog has when he goes into Israel, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, to them that are at rest, to them that are at peace, who dwell with neither gates nor bars. So, yeah, this sounds very provocative to me. I don't know. What's your take on the possibility that we're going to see Ezekiel 38-39 fairly quickly, I think?
Well, we just...
What does it delay?
We don't know which way. Now here's the other, I guess you could say, linchpin, if you will, to what Putin's doing in the Middle East. While all this is going on in the Middle East, and he has all of that, I guess you could say, that chess game, today, and this has to be instigated because Biden flew to Ukraine and met with Poroshenko, or whatever his name is. I think I pronounced that.
Yeah, Ukraine.
Today, after he left, the president of Ukraine, in what I would say is a very provocative manner, paraded his military and rattled his saber and really threatened Russia and Putin there on the border. So why would you do that? We've got a buildup already on the Ukrainian border in the Crimea region, but Putin's he's playing the game there, and he's playing the game in Ukraine too. And for now, all of a sudden, you've got Biden going around, and you've got war starting here and there a little bit. And, you know, you really do consider it an act of war to send your planes, fire your artillery, send your troops and your tanks and armor into another nation like Syria. That is an act of war, and Turkey did that, and Biden was there. And then Biden was also in Ukraine, and Ukraine is now, rattling their saber, their, you know, military saber at Putin, provocatively. I'm looking, and I begin to wonder if somebody's not really trying to start a war somewhere.
I would say probably the rich men of the earth are behind all of this. If you go into Habakkuk, whatever you want to pronounce it, it talks about those that rise up and cause strife and cause trouble. And we know who that is because the Bible clearly identifies in Psalm 2, and this is, again, people, you want to be watching Psalm 2 because this is ultimately the Psalm 2 war. But it's the rich men of the earth, the kings and the rulers, the mega corporations, and people like George Soros. Speaking about George Soros, What is going on there? I saw O'Reilly coming after him. So evidently Soros is trying to destroy Fox News, according to the headlines.
That's what it appears to be. He seems to be behind the big push that's going on to destroy Fox News and then any alternative media, because basically Soros controls all of mainstream media. You know, which I a lot of times call Obama media, but yep, there's interesting things going on in that area at the moment. The rich men are working; they're on the move.
Do you think he'll be successful in this? I mean, you take somebody like Bill O'Reilly's fairly powerful when it comes to media. I know they got rid of Roger Ailes. Now, are they trying to hang the same thing on O'Reilly, implied improprieties, I suppose? Are they trying
That's
to hang
exactly
anything
right.
like that on O'Reilly?
Absolutely. It's the same Roger Ailes all over again. That's what they're hitting O'Reilly with.
Wow.
This is how they work. This is how they bring people down.
Okay, so I'm reading here, it says, now this is a top priority of liberal billionaire George Soros is to enlarge the U.S. electorate by 10 million voters by 2018. The plan to grow the electorate by millions of voters was discussed during a May 2014 board meeting of the Open Society Foundations, a liberal grant-making group founded by Soros. 220-page guide detailing the plan was among the more than 2,500 hacked Soros documents released by DC Leaks, which publishes documents from influential officials around the world. The guide covers strategies and tactics that the group will employ in the United States from 2015 to 2018. Top goals listed are to advance electoral reform and combat suppression, which would, of course, mean open the borders, allow everybody to vote, and whoever gives out the most handouts gets the vote. Is that the way I read it? Am I reading that right?
I think you're correct.
Boy, I tell you what, this is really getting kind of weird. Did you see that thing on, not O'Reilly, but Trump being charged with, I guess, rape and beating up some young woman?
Well, this is how they play the game. I mean, right now, basically, there's been so much WikiLeaks leaked out. Hillary's pretty much in hiding, is what they're reporting, and she only comes out to do something that's slanted in her direction, and she's covered, and no questions particularly. The Clinton Foundation and Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and all, you know, this is all coming out, the paper play. I mean, it's obvious. However, mainstream media is basically refusing to talk about it. So I suppose the only people that even know much about it is those that listen to Fox News or alternative media. It's very interesting, you know, what Soros has been doing. And they've also linked him with the big anti-Brexit movement. You know, he tried to stop the UK from – and also he's the one behind the major influx of all the immigrants into Europe. No borders.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that, of course, destroys nations. And maybe this is why Merkel and France and the rest of them just refuse to do anything to help their own people. You know?
Yeah, you wonder how long the people will keep getting destroyed, how long they'll put up with it. You know, I've heard rumors that a number of countries, that the Netherlands is about to exit the EU, and also a number of other countries have major problems about a civil war or a revolution because a lot of the people are tired of this thing.
Well, I mean, how would the American people like it if an authority knocks on your door and it's got maybe two families of 10 people, you're going to house these people, or you get out so that they can have your home?
Well, you know, the American people need to realize, Stuart, that if something doesn't change, that'll be occurring in America soon.
Yeah, I mean, it has happened in Germany, and I think it happened in France, but at least one report got leaked out, probably a whole lot more actually happened. One woman was forced out of her apartment so that the immigrants could come in and live there. So, the American people better wake up. You're absolutely right, because that will happen here, particularly with the bigger houses that people have here. And the borders appear to be wide open. And, of course, that's part of the Jeremiah, I'll fill you with aliens, and when the call comes, they will rise up and destroy you. So I guess it's all part of the plan. You were talking about earthquakes. I want to get into the earth changes. We haven't really touched much on that. What in the world is going on? Are we looking at a prelude to some big, big stuff?
It does appear so, Stuart. Matter of fact, the earthquake in Myanmar yesterday, you know, I know that the European and the USGS posted it at like a 6.8, but the UN site gave it a 7. So, you know.
Oh, really?
You know, USGS and you know, pressure on the EMSC, also the European sites, is, you know, they post them lower. You know, we've talked about that before. These earthquakes are bigger than what they're telling us, and but they're not perfect, so they sneak in a 7, you know, like the UN site. You know, they posted this, it was a 7 at Myanmar. But we're having some incredible, and this one in Italy, I mean, they say this was only a 6.2, but it was shallow. And I mean, the destruction, have you seen some of the photographs? It is massive there in Italy, and it is rocking.
Yeah,
it's still rocking.
It seemed to flatten these towns. But a 6.2, like you were saying, that's not really such a large quake, but evidently the underlying ground is such that it really can destroy, even if it's a minor one, or we shouldn't even call it a minor, because a 6.2 is a large earthquake, but it's just not compared to like a 7.8 or an 8.2 or something like that. Got a headline here, though, that's kind of interesting. It says, "Are mega quakes coming? Another government warns people to be prepared for the worst." This is kind of fascinating because we're getting all these reports. First of all, FEMA has upped the time for people to be prepared for. They used to be 3 days. Now I think it's like a month. and they're warning people, you know, we can't get to you if something major occurs. We're getting all these reports about a mega quake in California, Oregon, Washington, and more reports coming out of the New Madrid area. You guys down there seem to continually be the earthquake capital of the world. What are we actually watching? And the volcanic activity, sinkhole activity, and rifts appear to confirm what Stan Dale's been talking about for a long, long time, the expanding Earth. And the bots talk about the expanding Earth all the time. I mean, that's been in their language for I don't know how many years, that the Earth is actually expanding.
Yeah.
A lot of people probably don't. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, a friend of mine, I got an email from him today, and for a number of years, he has really predicted very accurately earthquakes. He would write me, and usually within 48 to 72 hours of him telling me or giving a warning that we were going to have one or two or three, it would happen. He emailed me today and said, Larry, he said, I'm afraid from what I'm feeling here on this earthquake activity that just started in Italy and Myanmar, he said, it's not going to stop very quick. He said, I'm afraid we're in for some more. So, you know, on the other hand, I'm watching very closely because, you know, he's always been pretty accurate. You know, he's very sensitive and he's pretty accurate.
Well, you remember David Wilkinson's vision of a huge earthquake. He said there was an earthquake so large that it actually captured global news media for days and days and days. And he said this earthquake, which was going to occur in the United States, was going to occur in an area not really known for earthquakes, which would not put it on the West Coast, and probably wouldn't even put it in your area down there or the New Madrid area.
Well, Stuart, the only places I've ever been told there's never any earthquakes is Wisconsin and Minnesota.
I know, and here we sit. It's like jumping from the frying pan right into the fire, I guess.
So I'm telling
but,
you.
But, yeah, we are not known for earthquakes, and that could be that new mid-continent rift,
yeah.
Which is, you know, Lake Superior is the beginning of that rift, and they say that rift is the largest known rift that did not develop an inland sea.
Huh.
Well, maybe it's going to, because you have all these prophecies of the U.S. Navy, et cetera, which claim that the United States is going to be split in half. Have you heard any more about UN or our demands to divide Israel, and particularly Jerusalem? That's been kind of on the back burner with all this other stuff. But
well, what is interesting towards that is the fact that there are reports, and they're basically coming out of Egypt. Egypt is reporting that Putin has agreed to work a Middle East peace initiative to actually host it and head it. And, of course, Putin right now is pretty much military power in the Middle East. And, you know, this is interesting because Putin certainly has contact right now on a moment's notice with Netanyahu. And at the same time, you know, he's got his finger in the other pies. So, but I do know the UN for some time was really trying to move forward this initiative to divide Jerusalem. And, you know, there was a lot of, you know, a lot of the EU, before they fell into all their troubles, they were behind that quite a bit. The EU was actually sanctioning products, you know, from Israel and doing everything they could to cause problems. But it seems like with all this other going on and everybody's finger on the trigger, that's quieting down just a little bit.
So now the question becomes, do we have to have a major war in order to bring about this so-called peace of the Antichrist? A lot of people misinterpret, I think, what it says. The treaty is a seven-year treaty, but the way it reads, it's a treaty already in existence that is then confirmed later, which would tend to indicate we got to have maybe Isaiah 17 and that conflict first. Do you think?
That's possible.
That's possible.
Well, that's certainly possible. Plus a Psalm 83 war, maybe a quick war. You know, I just don't know. You know, very interesting is the fact that so many right now of the, you know, those that surround Israel wants to attack Israel. I mean, you know, everybody's fingers on the trigger to hit Israel, except they also know that Israel certainly can fight back. And you know, it's interesting, and I don't know how the American election plays into all of this, because apparently the American election is influencing, you know, some of the Middle East at the moment. I know it's certainly influencing Putin. You saw the recent photograph that I posted of Ivanka Trump meeting with Putin's girlfriend, you know, to deliver. You know, they're not delivering messages back and forth for no reason at all. I mean, that's not how that works. they have reason, you know.
Yeah. They're talking about buying dresses and what kind of perfume to wear. I don't know. People are awful gullible. Of course, that's a back channel. That's how diplomacy works, through the back channels. And that's exactly what that is. But if that war were to start, then we have some sort of a peace agreement, and that peace agreement divides Israel up. Then we have problems here in the United States. And I also wanted to bring, you had a vision long time ago called the Missiles of October. You want to elaborate for our listeners somewhat about that? Because every October, my ears and my eyes pick up because of that. I think it's coming to pass. I don't question the fact it's coming to pass. It's kind of when, I guess.
I have for years, Stuart, and it's been many years now. I was living in Winsboro, Texas at the time, and working a secular job, and I had come home. I was tired. I laid down on the edge of the bed, and I was immediately asleep, and I began to dream of these missile silos or some kind of missiles, and they looked like ICBMs, like big ones, not small ones, you know, but big missiles, and they began to fire off. Now, not all of them fired, just some of them fired, and I snapped out of that, sat up on the edge of the bed, and I heard an audible voice say to me, "These are the missiles of October." Now, there was not a year given at all, but, you know, year after year, you know, I posted that for a number of years, and then I just quit posting it because it never happened, and I gave up posting it. However, saying that, I have to say that I cringe up every year in September approaching October, because I really do believe that there is going to be an exchange of missiles of some kind in an October of some year, and, you know, I could be wrong, but... what's interesting, too, is this year, for the first time, that Rosh Hashanah, I believe I'm right, doesn't start till October, like the 3rd
yes.
or something.
It's
very
4th.
Strange. Yeah, it's very strange. And there's been a lot of warnings about America having pre-election troubles going into September, and so we don't know what an October might even look like, you know?
Well, you know, people think that this stuff takes forever, and it appears as though it does, but the Lord said there are going to be delays, so, you know, they come and go. But when they do happen, it's like this Erdogan and Putin love fest, and
yeah.
the sudden alliance that took place. It took place overnight.
Quickly. So quickly.
And
that's
so,
right.
Yeah, and so this can also take place very quickly, overnight. In fact, Isaiah 17, it more or less indicates that it is a very rapid, nasty battle, and everything is different. And Israel comes out not the loser, but very badly worn out, I guess.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, something that people forget about the Israel-Samson option, and they also, when you think about Israel, you're always, you know what's in front of the news all the time out of Israel, it's the IDF, which is the army, and the Israeli Air Force, and that's the biggie. I mean, we always think that, but you know what, Stuart? I don't think anybody realizes the size of Israel's secret submarine fleet.
Yeah,
and these submarines carry nuclear capable cruise missiles.
Yeah, that's all we need. You know, I mean, you know, it's the Lord put. I always kind of envision that the Earth is a little playpen. know, and he allows the little babies in it to develop whatever they want, and eventually they appear to blow the playpen apart, because this is kind of the I don't know, it's kind of like, well, the Lord says I got my hand stretched out upon the nations, and they're just going to do what they're going to do. And maybe that is why Putin issued the warning he did, that we are in an irreversible downward slide to global nuclear war. It was like he was already, I don't know, I guess, acceptance that that's where it was going to go. And there wasn't much you could do about it.
Well, you would have to say, though, the playpen is not a level playground with the, you know, when you read about Ed Dames and what he indicated about there is an unknown force that has restrained the U.S. taking out Russia out of the game up to this point. And if that is true, then the it's not a level playing field in the playpen, Stuart.
Well, no, there is an overriding sense of, okay, baby A, you can go so far but no further, and baby B, you better shut up or you'll get taken out, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, the invisible hand of the Lord, there's no question about that. You also had a vision of Jacksonville. And I wanted to get into this storm that they say is developing. Have you heard any more about that? They were calling it the possible storm of the century coming off from Africa.
There are two of them, actually. They say one is waning, just below tropical force now, but the other one is gaining and probably will become a hurricane. And they are somewhat out in the Atlantic at this time, but there are projections that this could be very, very dangerous and build. Of course, the water, you know, the water temperature, Stuart, since the flow of the warmer waters up through to England, you know, since they stopped that flow, our waters are heated now all the time, and the closer these things get, the more violent they seem to get. And we haven't had any real major hurricane activity, you know, on the lower East Coast for some time. And so I don't know, but I do know that the Lord, one time, I was praying. It was very interesting. I was praying about when the real persecution would begin to come down on God's people in America. And this was years ago, too, and it never happened. And the Lord, I feel like, told me that when Jacksonville is devastated, and, of course, that's never occurred, not Jacksonville, Florida. Now, there is a Jacksonville, Texas, but it wasn't Texas. I know it was Florida with the location.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another one that hadn't happened yet either. So I seem to have a list of those that haven't happened. But, you know, when I look back, Jeremiah the prophet, he's got a number that hadn't happened either.
I love it. That's and he's pretty old now, 2,500 years.
Absolutely.
So you got to, you know, I mean, these are short-term types of visions, but we have been very lucky the last, 10 years or so. But I remember what Red Elk said. He said that was going to change and that we were going to start having hurricanes, the likes of which nobody had ever seen. And that's one of the reasons I brought it up, because it appears that we may be getting in that particular time now.
And we don't need to take safety for granted, because you know, this could occur. Now, I know we only got like 5 minutes, and I wanted to say something.
Go ahead.
You know, get your opinion on this this radiation, you know, on our planet, that's hitting our planet. You know, I know I saw you had posted a mention of that. You know.
Yes.
And the bots talking, and the bots also talking about some type of sun sickness. This would fit.
Well, you know, I think we are in the preliminary ripples, the four ripples, I guess one could call it, of the galactic superwave. we're getting reports more and more of its effect on people's minds. And it also affects the weather. And it affects the sun probably more than... If you look at the Bible, it indicates that the sun is really the chief instrument because it's so close to Earth that really undoes us as a world civilization. I mean, when you read stuff like the sun, it's going to mini nova, become seven times brighter. It's going to cook men like an oven. And if the days weren't shortened, nobody would survive it. So that is a very anomalous sun. And the bots picked up on this sun disease something like 4 or 5 years ago, that the language indicated that the sun was really going to start becoming really anomalous. And I was outside just the other day, and you can actually, it's not just the heat of the sun. It stings you.
Yeah.
It actually, it feels like you're being stung with something. It's more than just a burn now. And have you had any more reports from anybody on dizziness or not feeling well, lethargic?
A lot of that. Yeah, there's a lot of those reports coming in, Stuart, from lots of places. And, you know, also I guess you saw the report by NOAA and Space Weather that they now have a 10,000-mile testing agenda going on this month and into the end of September. They're testing radiation in the atmosphere all the way from, I guess, the North Pole down to the southern, the South Atlantic anomaly. I mean, all the way to Chile. It's massive, and they're concerned with all the radiation that's coming down to the planet. And, of course, we're being radiated by, again, as you said, the anomalous sun activity that's going on. It is, and I believe it is making people sick. And remember, Standeo said that we were going to see more than just the South Atlantic anomaly, that this was going to begin to open up over Canada and the USA also.
Yeah, I think on one of my documentaries, I grabbed something. I don't know if it was NBC News or where it was from, but they had a very interesting thing about a magnetic field collapse and how a reversal, and how as it starts to reverse, the Atlantic anomaly becomes commonplace. It's all over the place, and northern lights begin to appear all over the planet. And of course, that means that solar radiation is going to start coming down and affect people. And we already approved by La Violette that anytime you have these cosmic rays come through, it changes the DNA. And we really should do maybe a big study on that. I'm working on a Prophetic Insider special report on it. And I think that's going to be a deadly, deadly thing when it really takes place in earnest, because we're already having losing it.
Yeah, you're right. You're exactly right.
So anyway, how can people get a hold of you again before we have to depart here?
Well, the easiest way is to just go to my blog, LarryWTaylor.org. That's LarryWTaylor.org.
Okay, and Friday night, who do we have? This fellow is a very popular writer, so that's going to be a fascinating thing.
Oh, we should have Davis Bunn.
Yes, so that ought to be a fun show, and we hope everybody will tune in and listen to it. Any closing words, Larry?
Oh, I tell you what, I just tell people to keep watch. A lot of activity, a lot going on.
Yeah, it's amazing, and you know, people are under so much pressure. They don't feel well. They're under economic pressure, and this thing just doesn't look good. We're headed for, I guess one could say, a sort of a disaster. But we knew it was coming, right? We knew it was coming. We just didn't know exactly when. Anyway, I think, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you're right. You're correct.
Okay, well, thanks for coming on, Larry. Really appreciate it. We'll see everybody Friday. So thanks for listening. Night now.